Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies, and it's time for another podcast. I'm really excited today that we've got Todd Madison with California School Choice Foundation with us today. And our topic is how school choice produces the best education for our children. So, Todd, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So, Todd, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have been an activist in K-12 education for quite some time now, particularly in Oceanside Unified, here in North County. I spent a lot of time working with the district, involved in budget committees. I was the leader of the Parent Advisory Committee for years, frequent speaker at school board meetings, ran for school board last fall. And I've been looking for ways to make education better for our kids throughout this entire time. One of the things that I ran into, is, of course, there's a little bit of entrenched resistance, to change, in the traditional school system.
It's always been this way. We have to keep it this way.
Yes, exactly. And so finally, I came to the realization probably about a year or so ago that really the only way we were going to get change would be to make it possible for parents to produce that change, make it possible for parents to choose the best education for their kids. So school choice is the way that happens. As
yes.
With charter schools, of course, you're intimately familiar with that. When parents can choose, they choose the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what brought me to this.
And options help all boats rise, helps public education, improves the general landscape of what's happening in public education, and giving families the opportunity to choose benefits everyone.
Absolutely. They've done a number of studies in states that have school choice systems. And so far, almost every single one of them shows that not only do the kids get a better education overall, but the level of education at the public systems rises as well. All of a sudden they've got to, up their game a little bit.
Yep.
To make sure they can keep their kids and their revenue from that. So that induces them to improve. It's the market system. It just works.
Well, I'm always encouraging our families to be actively and meaningfully involved in the education of their children, but also, just general advocacy in general. Be somebody that's out in the community and doing stuff. So, and I'm encouraging people, please, when those school board seats become available, run for them. What did you learn through that process of going through that, running for a school board seat?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the involvement is the key. And as the leader of the Parent Advisory Committee, I saw, we increased our attendance by 1,000% in the time I was there. But what that meant is that 36,950 parents in Oceanside were not at those meetings. So what I saw is the opportunity in running for school board to get more people involved, to knock on doors, to get in front of people, to try and get them to understand that, they can be involved. They can actually make change in this. I've been involved in a lot of those school board rallies now.
Okay.
I've been a part of the Let Them Breathe effort, and some other people who are advocating choice on other things. And it is great. It's awesome to see parents out there, taking charge and understanding that they need to have their voices heard.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the California School Choice Foundation.
So we are now Californians for School Choice.
We've
opened up a committee so that we can actually fund this and accept donations and all that. So Californians for School Choice has been out there for several years now. We've been working on an initiative to create a constitutional amendment, a state constitutional amendment. We're putting it on the ballot in November 2022. We're going to go out and get about 1 million signatures to do that. A group of people here in Southern California has been working on this for years. They started with legislation modeled after some legislation that was in 2018 in the legislature from John Morlock of Orange County, and they used that as a model to devise what they think is the best of school choice initiatives. So do you want to know what we're going to do in this?
I would love that. I mean, so we're going to create this amendment. We're going to have people vote on it. And if it passes, what will that do for the state of California?
We're going to take all the funding that the state spends on K-12 education right now, which is defined by Proposition 98 in state legislation. We're going to take that, split it up among all the children who are eligible in the state, put that into an educational savings account for the parent to use to apply towards accredited tuition at any accredited institution throughout the state.
Okay.
So the parent will be able to stay with public or charter schools if they choose to do that. There'll be no charge as there is right now. But if they also choose to take that money and apply it towards private homeschool, faith-based school, whatever other options there are out there, Right now, that's $14,000 per student per year.
Wow.
Of course, that money changes year to year depending on the funding. So that may go up, may go down, you know, however that goes. The critical difference between our proposal and many what you call vouchers out there is that under ours, if the parent doesn't use all that money, if they suppose they go to an option like homeschooling that's significantly cheaper than $14,000 a year, at that point, the difference accumulates in the account. So that difference will accumulate over time, and then eventually they can use it for other educational options. In the case of a homeschooler, you know, we see a lot of homeschool parents who choose a private high school or some option when their kids get older. They would have money accumulated in that account then that they could apply to that, even if the tuition there is over $14,000 a year. Of course, they have that money. And then at the end of this, if they graduate from once they do graduate from K-12, they can apply that towards college or vocational school up until age 30. So in the case of a pure private affidavit homeschool parent who basically has zero cost in this for accredited tuition, they could end up with over $180,000 at the end of that for college or vocational school.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So has there been any opposition to this idea?
Well, yes, there is. I can tell you I've been out there now for 6 months. At various street fairs and events and things, manning tables and talking to people. And I can tell you 99% of the people that we talk to agree with us. When you ask parents, you know, don't you think you should have the right to choose the best education for your kid?
Sure.
Of course, the answer is yes. On the other hand, there are members of certain entrenched interest groups out there that do not like that. You know, they don't like the idea that a parent might be able to choose something that's the best for their kids and may not be the best for them. So, yes, we have some opposition. You know, we're expecting to see more. There was some polling done a couple months ago, and they found that 54% of parents in the state of California are already in agreement with us. They don't even know we exist, and they're already in agreement with us. You know, we've seen things in the last year that I think have opened parents' eyes. Now, we don't know how that's going to change, you know, as the opposition ramps up their campaigns. But I think that parents have had enough. I think at this point, parents have seen that there are other options out there, and they want to take advantage of those options.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So how does school choice actually benefit? How does it benefit a student? How does it benefit our region and our state?
Well, a number of different ways. I mean, first of all, we all know that not all kids learn the same way.
True.
You know, we've seen, as parents have been looking over their kids' shoulder, particularly in the last year, you know, you can see parents that there are kids that thrive on that. You know, my daughter is now a senior in high school. She's going to a public high school. And she was tremendous. You know, last year was not really a significant impact for her. But, you know, she's a good student to begin with and computer literate and, you know, has all the, in a fortunate group. We have all the resources. We can do that. I could look over her shoulder, you know, if I needed to. But there are some kids that don't have those benefits, you know, and they don't have that mindset. And those kids learn differently. So it's good to have options for them. There are also kids that are science-oriented, kids that are arts-oriented, kids that are, you know, they thrive under more homeschool. There are parents that are more interested in the moral and ethical, you know, education, faith-based schools and things like that. So, you know, I think that that benefits all of them to be able to customize their education better that way. And that it will drive up the competition just by itself. You know, the fact that schools are going to have to actually perform and make parents happy with what's happening in order to keep that child, you know, that will benefit everyone as a whole as well.
Sure. And to qualify for the ballot, how many signatures do you need?
1 million, slightly 1 million. Less than 1 million, 900 and some odd thousand. So, you know, once we get those, so getting 1 million, of course, we're going to need to overqualify. We're shooting for 1.5.
Okay.
Undoubtedly, there will be mistakes and errors and disqualifications and things as there always are. So we're shooting for 1.5, and that we're going to start collecting those in the end of October.
That's what I was going to ask. Has that process started yet?
No, not yet. The initiative is in the Secretary of State right now. It's being qualified. It's going to be assigned a what they call title and summary.
Okay.
Once that gets assigned, then they release it to us. Then we can start printing and get out there and get signatures. We're planning an event right now called Super Sunday. Other people may call it Halloween, more traditionally.
Okay.
So October 31st, we're mobilizing the troops to get out and get out to their churches and their supermarkets and their local schools and everywhere they can be to start getting signatures. We're working on calendaring over 1,000 events statewide
okay.
to make that happen. Then we have 6 months. at that point, we have 6 months from whenever it's released to get the 1.5 million signatures.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's actually a timeline on that.
Yeah.
To qualify,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. If we don't make it in 6 months, then, you know, we have a problem. But just from what I've seen, I mean, there are people who are begging us to send them petitions so they can bring them to their neighbors and their church groups and their social groups and everyone else to get the signatures. I don't think we're going to have any kind of real problem. I think we just need to make sure everybody is focused and gets out there and gets it done.
So this is a statewide organization. Are there local chapters?
Yes, every county has its own chapter.
Right now,
I'm the San Diego County Chair. Every county has every populated county. We don't have a chair in, I don't know, Tahama County or Siskiyou or whatever, but, you know, we're shooting for all of them, but, right now in all the populated counties. And then within the county, we have a team leader structure. So we have people who are responsible for, say, faith-based outreach or, you know, different groups, Republican groups, Democratic groups, women's groups, you know, things like that. So they're out there, mobilizing their own troops.
So if, let's just go there, you've collected the number of signatures that you need, those all qualify, it goes on the ballot in November of 2022, and then if it gets approved by voters, when would it actually take an effect?
Well, the biggest question mark is lawsuits.
You know, of course.
I mean, we suspect that there will be lawsuits as a result of this. Ideally, we'd like to see it take effect. You know, it won't take effect, of course, in fall of 2022, but it could theoretically happen in fall of 2023.
Okay.
You know, it might be more realistic to go 2024. There's going to need to be some structure set up, some administrative structure, some accounting, things like that. How long it'll take the state to do that, of course, is anybody's guess. So, you know, it's hard for us to predict exactly, but we're hoping within a year or two of passage, we'll have this fully in place.
This would fully change the way that we fund education. This would be a national model, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are other states out there that have varieties of school choice. 33 states have some variety of school choice.
Okay.
Probably the most extensive, Florida, is pretty well known for it. We also saw a couple laws pass in Kentucky and West Virginia last year that are pretty extensive, but none of them provide the full funding that the state provides as we do. Most of the states provide some limited form of funding, you know, based on some formula that they're doing. Some of them go with donations, scholarships, and things like that. This is going to be full-on school choice. You will take the money that you give to the state and use it for tuition anywhere that you want to. So we're not affecting local property taxes or federal funds. We can't do that. It's not within our purview to change
that. It's the state aid, basically.
State aid, exactly. So public schools will still get more money, you know, than you will be able to take with you elsewhere, because they will still get that additional advantage from there. But we think that the market is going to respond, and we think that schools will definitely be providing many, many, many good quality options.
Interesting. Okay. We've already talked about the timeline, and you're feeling good about the success of this. You're just from the polling you've done and the people that you're talking to on the ground.
Oh, yeah. No, I've talked to thousands and thousands of people in the last 6 months. I've been all over the place. I speak to groups, you know, many times a week. And as I say, it's almost universal, the approval on it. Every parent, you know, everyone listening to this, I'm sure, understands the value of school choice and how beneficial that can be to their child. And there's no reason why not to. I mean, if you want to choose the public school, I chose public schools.
Sure.
You know, we could have gone to...
There are some great traditional public schools in our communities, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I could have gone anywhere. I mean, we're fortunate, and we could have put our child in pretty much anywhere, our children.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they wanted to do the sports. They wanted to do the different things that public schools have advantages on. And I was pretty involved with those schools. So we chose that. And if people want to choose that, that's great. I think it's a totally valid option. But I think also they should be able to choose other options.
Sure. Have you thought about, having gone through the school board race, will you repeat that again? Or did you enjoy that experience, or would you like to do it again?
I met a lot of great people.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you, I met so many great people. I knocked on, this was back in the real COVID era, and I was knocking on doors. I was the only candidate out there knocking on doors. And I knocked
scaring on. People to death, probably.
Well, it was funny because I originally thought, kind of a funny story, I originally thought, okay, knocking on someone's door with a mask on is probably not the ideal thing to do, you know, in any situation. So I'd knock on, I remember knocking on this woman's door and telling her that, you know, I thought that you know, perhaps having a mask on might induce people not to answer their door. She looked me up and down and said, "Not in those dad clothes." So I don't think I was too threatening. But I had just some awesome conversations with people in doing that. You know, one-on-one was just tremendous. I did pretty well in the election. I got more higher percentage of the vote than any challenger has gotten against an incumbent in Oceanside in any election I could find statistics on.
That's awesome.
So we were.
You made a difference.
Yeah, and I think we raised the awareness, you know, from parents. I think I talked to many people who said I didn't even know we had a school board. And I was the first person they had ever seen from the school board.
How interesting.
So I think we had some good conversations and we raised some awareness there too. That's kind of a side effect of school choice. I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. But I think that if nothing else, forcing parents to actually think about where their child is going to school and make a decision every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't just default and go.
It's an important conversation to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we see that with charters. I think that when a parent actually looks into the options and takes the time and effort, you know, to investigate that, they make other choices, you know, because they understand that there are other choices out there. And I
right.
think school choice will induce more parents to be involved, at least to some degree, in their child's education.
So, Todd, where are our listeners going to learn more about your California School Choice Foundation or Californians for School Choice?
Californians for School Choice. CaliforniaSchoolChoice.org.
Okay.
That's CaliforniaSchoolChoice.org, all one word. That's our website. We're also going to be out there in front of you at Walmarts and Albertsons and churches and everything shortly in a few weeks, so you can always stop by there. We go to various groups and speak. You know, I'm going to be at a number of different groups in the next month or two. So if you're tied in with any of the particularly conservative groups, it tends to be. But
okay.
But all groups, you know, we'll speak to anybody. So, you know, that's a way to do it as well. And then, you know, just pay attention to the news because I'm sure we'll be in the news.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, Todd, thank you so much for your time today, coming by, reminding us the importance of school choice in California and how parents need to have these conversations. Where is the best place to have your son or daughter go to school? So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cameron.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.